Welcome back to Letting Go with best-selling author Guy Finley.
Presently, I ask you to ask yourself, what is the code inside of you? What's taking place inside of you now? And the answer is simple, because the deteriorating health of the human being. Do you understand, as the cell goes, so does the body? Look at the world. Why is it like that? I'll tell you why. Because human beings increasingly have reached the conclusion that whatever it is that they don't want to do ought not be done, and what ought to be done is find ways to get around everything that needs to be done by making more money, having more power, and doing something so that one need never go through anything that bothers one. So we're actually the human race is actually in a very, very dire condition, by which, through the darkness of its misunderstanding of its potential, is actually writing and changing its own DNA. Which, by the way, I think explains quite a bit of what's happening to the children that you see born on this planet today, where you've got 7, 8-year-olds, 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds killing each other. Unprecedented. Has never happened before. Now the question is, and it's an important question, what's my role in this? Because in my heart, I want to grow. And when I say grow, now listen, I'm not talking about acquire. I'm talking about becoming a completely different being. Someone that doesn't try to answer a fear with what fear says is the answer to it. But something that is without fear. Do you see? There's so much in this. We are embodied in an organism made of, I don't know, is it 10 billion? Does anybody know that it's like 10 billion? Some huge astronomical number of cells. All of them in communication, all of them in alignment with the other, everybody acting, everybody doing little things. and that activity, because it is a reflection of what we perceive, actually serves to prove to us that when we see something that we don't want to do, that that's organic to us. Do you understand what I'm saying? It does. That's the point. You see, it actually becomes, fear becomes organic. Isolation becomes organic. Hatred, resistance actually becomes organic, because as the cells mutate to protect themselves from the perceived life that one doesn't want because of what the mind says is so, what takes place except the whole thing gets closed in and closed in and closed in? Can that be reversed? Can that be changed? That's the question, because you see, if I don't understand, and this is fundamental, if I don't understand by being present to myself and my own life, seeing that, you know what, I'll ask you, yes or no, are you becoming more open, easy to get along with, willing to do more things as you get older, or is it going the other way? You know the answer. Leave me alone. And that wish is organic after a certain point in a human being, unless that human being has in him or her that bit of light, that truth, that Christ, that recognizes that life is not meant to be spent in avoidance of anything. Now, what is it that avoids? Look, when you look out and you see something you don't want to do, what are you looking at? Now, this is an important question, because sometimes, have you ever been in a certain state where you didn't need to see anything, you just weren't going to do whatever it was that was coming? Yes or no? Of course. just look, this is it. It's lump day. You know? And hang my responsibilities, or if I can't hang them, I'll hang them on someone else. But other times, it isn't like that, and one sees that something should be done. Or I have to do something, because I'm on up in a body. And when you look at what you have to do, and then comes in you the resistance to it, what are you looking at when you see what you don't want to do? Do you know what you're looking at when you see what you don't want to do? You're looking at yourself. You're looking at what the mind projects as an image of what you will feel like, go through, be like, should you get out of your chair, or should you make the call, or should you do whatever you have to do. The mind seizes upon the organic chemical structure that's been put in place. This is critical because it's a form of actual chemical addiction to resistance. The mind actually produces what it doesn't see. It sees what it will feel like or be like to go through whatever it is that is projected there on the screen of the mind. And where does that image come from? Well, we know where it comes from. It comes from our own negative imagination. Now, how does one walk through that? Here's the story. Take a deep breath. Man once found himself in a very strange condition. And it was strange to him, and it won't be quite as strange to you unless you've seen the fact of what I'm saying, because I can't take time to set up why it's strange. He found himself in a prison. And the reason that it was strange that he found himself in a prison is because he thought he was born in paradise. There was a house, there was a family. I mean, everything was in. There was no way for him to know that it was a prison, except finally, after a certain point in time, and I'll describe it to you. He realized that every door that was available for him to go through, that he could see through, when he opened it, he'd look out and he'd see, ah, look, happiness down that road. And he'd go down that road, open the door, walk down, picket fence, lovely, beautiful. But no matter what road he walked down, no matter what door he looked through and saw its promise, he always found himself back in the same place. And not in the same state of himself. Same place, but not the same state of that himself. What does that mean? He would find himself back in the same place, but he would be unhappier. Because he had gone to the end of something, and when he got to the end of it, it wasn't the end of something, it wasn't the beginning of something beautiful. It just brought him back to where he'd been before. And after he'd been through about 5,000 of these doors, seeing the promise of them and winding back to where he was starting from, he realized, you know, this is a weird deal. I don't see any bars. I don't see any guards. But this has to be a prison, because I'm unable to reach the contentment, the happiness, the love that I know in my heart I'm intended to live in and with. It isn't at the end of any of these roads. Where is it? And then one day, because, listen, this is critical, one day because he, you know, another phenomena about this prison is that new doorways would appear all the time. You'd be walking along, you know, kind of mumbling to yourself about something, all of a sudden there'd be a new doorway. Look at there's a prince down there. Oh, prince. Or look at that. And new doorways all the time. But finally he began to realize that these doorways that he could see, what does that mean? What his mind produced in forms of images that would bring him happiness if he would pursue their ends, he began to see couldn't produce the promise of themselves. So he stopped going down some of these doorways, but as he stopped going down them, he was becoming more and more bitter. He was becoming a bit of a recluse, meaning that he was someone who didn't want anything to do with anything. And then one day something happened, and this is what happened. He wasn't willing to go down any of the old roads when there in front of him appeared a door, and when he looked through the door, he saw something terrible. And he thought to himself, well, who would want to go through a door like that? Then he asked some friends, have you ever seen a door appear that if you walk through it, something bad would happen to you? And they say, yeah, I've seen that door. So I've seen that door. Well, you know, he said, when I looked through it, it looked to me like it was hell. I looked far as I looked to me, all I could see was something terrible. And the other fellow said, well, you know, when I looked at it, that isn't what I saw. What I saw was something that looked like just pure emptiness. Another fellow said, well, you know, funny you should say that. That wasn't what I saw. I saw a series of endless doors when I looked through that door. And each person would describe something different that they would see through this door that nobody wanted to go through. So the hero of our story began to think about this. And this is the kind of thinking that one has to do. Let's see. I've been through every door that promised me that I'd come to something good for myself. And every one of those doors has brought me back to where I am. Well, there's only one door left. And it's the door that when I look at it, looks like it's the last place on earth that I want to go. What does this mean to us? How many of you understand the last thing on earth you want to do is do anything that's going to trouble your sense of yourself, your security, or whatever it is? Anything that's going to make me negative, I'm not going to walk through that door. But see, you're missing it. Just to see the door, you're negative already. Try to get this, will you? You think when you look at the door of what needs to be done or what you ought to do as a decent householder or a man or a woman, now we're talking spiritually, wishing to evolve. You look out, and when you look out and see that which you don't want to do or what you won't do, when you look at things like that, and you feel a certain fear and resistance, you believe that what you are seeing is producing the way you're feeling. It is what you are feeling that is producing what you're seeing.
Hear Guy Finley in person. Guy lives and teaches in Merlin, Oregon, where he speaks four times each week at beautiful nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation. Visit us anytime and hear Guy's life-transforming principles in a friendly, serene, and inspiring environment. Visit GuyFinley.org or call 541-476-1200 to learn more about friendly ongoing classes. You are not alone in your quest for a new life. At Life of Learning, you'll meet others who are also seeking higher understanding, and you'll experience the power and inspiration of hearing Guy Finley in person. Plan to visit us and take the next step in your spiritual development. For information, call 541-476-1200, 541-476-1200, or visit GuyFinley.org. That's GuyFinley.org.
It is what you are feeling that is producing what you are seeing. And this man, the hero in our story, he began to realize that. He actually began to understand, you know what? I wonder what would happen if, now listen, because this is really everything. If in spite of the negativity I feel towards going through what I don't want to do, going through that door, I wonder, in spite of the way I feel, what would happen if I walk through that door, not because I want to, but because I understand that's really the only choice there is if I want to live unafraid of doors, so to speak. So he walks up to the door, and like a brave student, he puts his big toe over the threshold. And there's a a jolt, like an electro. Have you seen those TV shows? Like an electromagnetic field. Like, you know how they have prisons on ships, on spaceships, and there's no bars, but if you touch it, you get that, you get zapped. He touched it. Oh, I guess I was wrong. That must prove that that's the way it is. And by the way, now I can really see further in that door, and everything that I thought was true about what was on the other side of that door is true. I can't go through there. And then the person spends another 5, 10, 15 years or whatever it takes until finally one day it's clear beyond the shadow of any doubt. That there can never be peace. There can never be contentment. There can never be this. Now listen, there can never be the fulfillment of the purpose of His creation, which is growth, which is transformation. That can never take place as long as He avoids that door, because the very wish to avoid all things like that is the same as being locked up in the perception that produces the pain. So he did the only thing he knew to do. You know what he did? He threw himself through the door. Now you listen, because this is critical if you ever want to really change your life. He threw himself through the door. And you know what happened when he threw himself through the door? There was indeed a shock. There was indeed a moment of pain. But the instant that he was on the other side of the threshold of that door, that which he had seen on the side that he entered from was no longer there. In other words, what he was seeing when he was looking into the door was not what was on the other side of the door. And he's standing there and he goes, this is amazing. Where did it go? Where did that trepidation go? Where did that fear go? Where did that hatred of what had to be done, where did it go? And I'm telling you where it went now. It was transformed from that protective, dark, closed-in nature into something that began to express its natural tendency, which is growth and openness. Because as the perception changes of a person's life and the purpose for things that take place, see, we are so arrogant in our ignorance to believe that we know exactly what life is supposed to be, what it's supposed to bring to us, and what our responsibility is toward it. And all of those ideas are based on nothing other than a completely psychopathic conception of life given to us by the people around us, our parents and everyone else. You have to begin to think to yourself, could there be a life where, when that darkness, when that door appears, I don't hesitate? And the reason I don't hesitate is because I don't buy into the resistance. The part of myself, now listen, the part of myself that always wants to protect itself. Can you see that when you don't want to do something, that the reason that you don't want to do it is because it actually is, you actually think you're protecting yourself from something unpleasant? Can you see that? Perhaps there's someone in your life, and you know that you should not have the relationship that you have with them. You know it. It's clear to you. But when you look at the door of drawing the line of saying that's the end of that, or whatever it may be, you look at that door and you see on the other side of it the loss of whatever it is that you think you're going to lose. Now I have to protect myself, listen, from something I don't even have. Because all you have is the imagined relationship. If you had the true relationship, there wouldn't be conflict in it the way there is. Just as an example. So when a person says, all right, I know what I need to do, and now I'm going to bring it down as close to earth as I can. I know that I need to stop being wasteful. I know that I need to stop pleasuring myself. I know that I need to stop being unkind and judgmental in my mind. I know that I need to be active. I know that I need to be an active human being in what is required of me if I want to have a life in God. I know I have to change something. But every time I look at what I have to do, all I see is something that I don't want to do. In fact, basically, that's all I see for the most part, is what I don't want to do. And I don't want to live my life not wanting to do what I need to do, because that's not life. It becomes life, doesn't it? Do you understand? It actually becomes life for us. Finding ways around things. The hero in the story understood what you have to understand, and it's relative to this idea of producing this change in ourselves at this very deep level. He understood that when he looks at what he doesn't want to do, he is not seeing the actual thing he's looking at. He is seeing at something inside of himself that establishes that image in order to protect its given sense of self. Understand that idea? He is looking at that which allows the sense of self that established the negative image to remain in place. Negative states protect themselves. They protect themselves by projecting negative images. When one sees a negative image and doesn't recognize it as a projection of their own present level of consciousness, then the resistance to the image actually creates a further ingraining of that negative image, that negative state. And so the wish to protect oneself from what thinks is what one sees is going to be a disturbance, the wish gets stronger and stronger and stronger until the actual structure of a human being, the psyche itself, becomes nothing but one self-protecting organism. Then you have all of the reasons why you see people being angry, hateful, blaming others, always lashing out, trying to fix this or the other thing, instead of doing the essential work, which is as follows. And by the way, I want to put this in. There are so many different ways in which this idea has been stated down through the centuries. Take the easy way, perpetuate the hard life. Take the hard way, find the easy life. The way out is through. On the other side of the resistance is the flow. One must learn to do what one doesn't want to do. All of these ideas are principled. They're centered around the idea that when life brings us that which naturally stirs resistance in us, resistance, gravity being part of the actual element of ourselves, that moment is a moment in which, with the proper perception of the event, allows us to bring light into that resistance and see it as being nothing other than a temporary state for the purpose of producing change in the human being in the growth mode. But the task before us, if we understand anything that's been said, is to realize in those moments, you know, here I am and I'm starting to get negative. I don't want to do that. I have to, whatever it is. And I'm going to tell me this. I don't want to get out of bed. I mean, it can be something, the smallest thing in the world. In those moments, that darkness that resists life is there so that we, understanding the nature of it, can bring that darkness to the light. What does it mean in practical terms? How many of you resist letting someone get in front of you on the freeway You know what I'm talking about? Especially if they've been tailgating you, you know. Or you're in a long line and you see somebody wants to get in. You know what you do. You inch up so they can't get in. You know what I'm talking about. Well, you know, in that moment, there's something you don't want to do, isn't there? See? You do it. Something that small. You do it. Why? Because then instead of being identified with the negative state that doesn't want that to happen, you're deliberately bringing that state of yourself into the light of understanding that you must let that happen for yourself, for what is right and true and good. Then compassion isn't based on this idea of me and him, but compassion has its root. The understanding of kindness is all connected to one movement, based on the idea of growth as opposed to that of driving downward. Other simple ideas like that? How many of you, when you get all stirred up, can't wait to go stir something up? Because I don't want to go through that. See? But we say to ourselves, I will go through that. Meaning, I'll watch what's stirred instead of letting what is stirred go out and stir up more. Another example. How many of you defend yourselves? All somebody has to say, the simplest thing is start defending yourself. And why? Because when someone says something and I feel like I have to defend myself, if I don't defend myself, something bad's going to happen to me. But in the moment where something bad's going to happen to me, what am I looking at? I'm looking at some idea, some image I have of myself that I have to see that it remains intact. You go through the door. In that moment, it means that instead of defending yourself, you come wide awake, and that which requires being defended, you let the light of that moment that has brought all that to bear, you let it do its work, so that your perception of the moment changes. Do you see what I'm saying to you? The perception of what's good changes instead of letting what is bad tell you what's good so that it can remain in charge of your life. There's so many instances in which a person can begin to practice this and do what they don't want to do, not because they're a good person, but because they understand the goodness of using that darkness so that the light can transform them and the whole of their lives. Think about this.
Hello, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. You've been listening to Letting Go with best-selling author Guy Finley. To learn more about Guy Finley and his nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation, visit guyfinley.com, where you'll find a host of free, life-changing information. Thanks for joining us today.
Love, the brightest and most powerful force in the universe. Love melts stress and cancels resentment. It gives birth to kindness and is the fuel of success. Love is at the heart of every great relationship and is the true essence of lasting peace. In his new book, Apprentice of the Heart, best-selling author Guy Finley explores lessons in life only love can teach. This breakthrough book contains the tools you need to strengthen and deepen all of your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and with the present moment itself. Apprentice of the Heart, available now at guyfinley.com and fine bookstores everywhere. Joseph Polansky of Diamond Fire magazine writes, "The reader is lifted up to a whole new realm, a rarefied region of the soul." To order your copy of Guy Finley's Apprentice of the Heart, visit guyfinley.com. That's guyfinley.com. The relationship your heart longs for already exists.
Hi, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. Welcome to Letting Go with Guy Finley. Guy is the best-selling author of Let Go and Live in the Now and is the founding director of nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation. And now, here's Guy Finley.
Physical evolution is involuntary. The planet and the creatures upon it proceed along a certain path. Born of a continual reconciliation of matter with space and energy and the new forms that proceed out of it. spiritual evolution is not involuntary. It is voluntary. And unless a person understands that, which means that they begin with the difficult task of throwing away all of the pseudo-comfort and the fear that lives in the idea that all you have to do is just be you and walk around and do what you do and all will work out and God loves you and He will save you in the end. One has to throw all of that away if they hope, in the right hope, to become a new creature. A new creature is not a reconfigured you. It is not a you with better ideals. It is not a you with new ways to look at people and behave according to those images. A new you has nothing whatsoever to do with the present state of yourself. The new you has nothing whatsoever to do with the present state of yourself. The new you exists as a potential, a possibility, a seed. It is a gift, but it is a gift that must be activated, actuated, reached for, so that the giver can come into the individual and make possible for that man or woman what he or she of himself, herself, cannot do. And that's the next thing that's very important to understand, that the evolution of the soul, the individual, the possibility of spiritual growth is not up solely to the individual. No one can lift himself. But one can place oneself where it is possible for what can lift oneself to reach in, down, and through and make the changes that produce the new man, the new woman. Now, so much of things that I say like that, I can hear myself speaking, and I know essentially they fall on one of three sets of ears. First set of ears they fall on are the ears that are hardened by conditioned beliefs. You're wrong, I know better than that. That can't possibly be, for God is a loving God. And individuals like that have little bits of truth that have filtered down into their hearts and minds, passed along with a certain kind of poison in them. And the poison that's passed along with truths like that is that because God loves me, I don't have to do anything. I can just stay the kind of human being I am and apologize my way through life. I can remain cruel, inconsiderate, unkind, greedy, grabbing everything I have to. I can spend my time pleasing myself and God will love me. I haven't thought this through as adequately as I'd like to, but I think I'll just go ahead and say it anyway. God still loves you, because that's the nature of God's life. But God's life and His love and what a human being is capable of being in relationship with God and His love are two different things. Because as it stated, God makes the sun to shine on good and evil alike. Be perfect even as your Father. But it also says that a man or a woman must go through certain things in order to enter into a life that is not just water, but that is spirit, meaning not just knowledge, but that is the grace of that life, that goodness itself. So I want you to understand, I said one of three ways, the hardened ears, then the ears that already know. Yeah, I know that. I know all about what you're speaking about. And such a person agrees with the truth and then lives a life in agreement with what compromises what he or she has said they know. They still do nothing whatsoever other than give lip service to the occasional moment in which it's possible for them to express all of the truths that they know. Such people are as lost as those whose ears and hearts have been hardened. Why? Because they believe in something about themselves that is true, to be true, that isn't true. The last group and the rarest group of human beings on the planet are those who hear the truth and do the truth. Those who hear the truth and do the truth. Such individuals place themselves in a relationship with life and its goodness, in relationship with life and its loving action, so that that action can begin to change in that human being. That which must be completely changed. That which must be brought to an end, so that in the end of it, as it ends, something new can be born. Now, the beauty of what I'm saying, even if it hasn't struck you yet, is that I'm speaking of a life in which, and to the point of this first section in the talk, a life that doesn't sit and look out at the world and resist everything that it sees that isn't part of what it wants. A life spent in the avoidance of life. Do you know that that's the human description? A life spent in the avoidance of life. Even those individuals who say, I don't avoid life. You should see me. I'm a go-getter. Look at me. Look what I've got. Look what I've done. And to such people, I would simply say that those actions are not your actions. They don't originate with you. They're part of a social myth, a cultural lie, an economic canard by which a person believes that if they can escape the fear they have of not having things by which to distract themselves, that's the same thing as being a complete content person. So a person pursues all of the ends that the world promises will bring an end to their unhappiness, and they believe that they're not avoiding anything, that they're active. And I say that a person like that isn't active. I say he has been activated by what he or she doesn't want to go through. And the proof of that is the fear that comes up every time something threatens the path by which a person says they're going to perfect this fearless life that they've imagined for themselves. So let me simplify this now. How many times a day does life present you with something that needs to be done, and all you know to do is to sit there and not want to do what has to be done, loathe yourself for not doing it, and then make up excuses why tomorrow would be a better day to get it done, if you can even remember tomorrow when it comes, which you hope you won't? Do you understand the question? See, the problem, and it's a deep problem, is that we have grown up in these bodies in a world that has fed them with its ideas and its stereotypical promises about days where things will be better, where you won't have the unhappiness that you do. And we are riddled, woven into the fabric of our present being. Our mind itself not only accepts all of those things that we don't want to go through as being natural, as something that shouldn't be gone through, but that each time we meet moments where we want to avoid the person, avoid the task, avoid the challenge, avoid that moment, whatever its quality is, the whole of ourself is justified as it sits there in resistance to life. So that a person without understanding it is chronically negative. Chronic negativism is the key feature of human consciousness as it presently is. Chronic negativism. What does that mean? I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that. No, sir. No, that's not right. I can't. I won't. It's not going to work. Leave me alone. Get away from me. Stop bugging me. In other words, What we want is a world in which all there is what we want. And there is no such world of all there is what we want as long as that's the world we want. Why? Because when the mind creates the ideal for itself, which is always a conditioned ideal, something born out of your past, relatives, family, the way you were raised, how people treated you or didn't treat you. When the mind creates such an ideal, the very faction of it, the creation of it, in that moment, produces in a person a resistance to anything that is not part of what they have idealized. So the very idea of what is pleasurable and good and promising holds in it, by the very nature of the ideal, that which must resist anything that comes along and challenges that ideal in the moment. It's hardwired. Ugliness is hardwired into the human mind the way it works. And it is ugliness when we look out at life and say, I don't want that. I'm not going to. I can't. It's not right. That isn't, how about this? It's a no my job. That isn't what I do. Because what I do, basically, is I just sit and be comfortable. Period. And everything else I do is to see that that stays in place. Yes or no? Yes.
Love, the brightest and most powerful force in the universe. Love melts stress and cancels resentment. It gives birth to kindness and is the fuel of success. Love is at the heart of every great relationship and is the true essence of lasting peace. In his new book, Apprentice of the Heart, best-selling author Guy Finley explores lessons in life only love can teach. This breakthrough book contains the tools you need to strengthen and deepen all of your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and with the present moment itself. Apprentice of the Heart, available now at guyfinley.com and fine bookstores everywhere. Joseph Polansky of Diamond Fire magazine writes, "The reader is lifted up to a whole new realm, a rarefied region of the soul." To order your copy of Guy Finley's Apprentice of the Heart, visit guyfinley.com. That's GUYFINLEY.com. The relationship your heart longs for already exists.
Now, the question that demands to be asked, if, and this is a big if after so many years of sitting at home, driving your car, sitting at work, after so many years of looking at the event horizon of your life, which can be something that has to take place 1 minute from now or 10 days from now, whatever it may be, looking at the horizon of your life as you sit there and you look at the horizon of your life, the question has to be asked, how long does a human being agree to living with something in themselves that 50% of the time, if not more than that, looks out at the event horizon and wishes that it wasn't the way it was. Wishes they didn't have to do what they see as being necessary to do. Because don't you understand, when a person spends his or her life always doing that which he or she resents doing, if they do it, because often we won't do it and then we resent ourselves for our weakness. How many of you know that about yourself? There are things that you know should be done and you don't do them, and then you sit and loathe yourself or blame someone for putting you in a position where there was no choice. The question is this, and you have to ask yourself this. I've asked myself this question. Do I want to live like that? Is that the kind of life that I want? where at any given moment can appear in front of me, metaphorically speaking, a threshold, a door, through which I know I should pass. But when I look at the door and I look at the threshold, I see through the door something that frightens me, something that disturbs me, something that I don't want to do because I can see through the door that which will take place in me, for me, if I actually do in that moment what I would much prefer not to do. And so human beings spend their lives in a very true way, even though it is figurative, walking around at any moment which one of these doorways, an archway, can appear. And on that archway, in it, they think they look out and see that which is uncomely, that which doesn't want to be. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. I don't want to have to be involved in that. That's not what I do. So a person all the time walking around, doorway appears, oh no, doorway appears, oh no. And if you examine your life, if you see the truth of it, your life, the direction in it, has not been a choice. It has been the avoidance of those doorways. And the more that one avoids those things, the more that one won't do what one doesn't want to do, the more convinced they are that they have become the right kind of person for their choices, and that it is the world that is unkind, it is the world that is tough and difficult and that disturbs them, without understanding that the disturbance resides inside of themselves. Now, I have a story that I want to get to because it's important, and I'm going to explain how this doorway appears in the story. But I want to tell you something else first, because it's so, I find it so beautiful. You know, there is nothing more beautiful and elegant and uplifting and inspiring than those moments in which, because a person has been willing to see through the kind of darkness in them that projects this darkness that we avoid, they begin to, and it's not the accurate word, but it's the only one there is, they begin to see that the whole of the universe, God's world, the whole thing is a creation that is not something in its essence that is in time, but that is rather a living, embodied, physically, a principle that's been embodied. And that in the body that reveals the principle of love, of goodness, of growth, of kindness, of darkness, of all of the elements, that in that principle, the individual finds peace. You've heard that expression, in God one finds peace. But you don't know what that means to find peace in God. You find peace in an idea you have, in a belief about God that you call on when you look at this moment. You say, oh, what do I do? That's not what peace in God is. That's not what peace in Christ is. Peace in God is an actual relationship with one's own understanding of these kinds of principles. And here's an example. I just stumbled on this, and you'll forgive me. I am not a molecular biologist. And are there any molecular biologists out there? Listen to this, because it confirms everything. It confirms everything. First, the grand principle. Two principal forces. Genesis speaks of it for those of you that are biblically oriented. Darkness and light. The two principal forces. The idea of the earth, which was the original darkness, wasn't a planet. If you ever read Genesis, you'll see it speaks of two creations. Darkness, that which is constrictive, closing in on itself, the nature of gravity, that which is self-enclosed, and then light, that which is expansive, that which is opening up, that which is moving out. That which darkness is that which is protective, closed in, light, that which is always growing. Now, recently, because of the new advances in studies of genes and things like that, these molecular biologists have discovered that the cell, the human cell, and again, I wish that I had more knowledge of this, the human cell is broken down into a host of elements, many, many, many elements. There's a nucleus, and there's other little, you know, doodads. And each of these doodads, including the nucleus, themselves have worlds within them. There's always worlds within worlds within worlds. And that the whole idea of the genome, of the gene structure inside of a human being, has always been considered to be a fixed thing, that DNA is fixed in a human being. And that the life of the cell, if you take, for instance, if you take a brain out of a human being, and you have planet Earth today, take the brain out of the human being, and the human being dies. Take the nucleus out of a cell, the cell doesn't die. Not only doesn't the cell die, but more important, and I want to get to this, because if I elaborate on this, I'm going to say things that I don't know for sure from myself. That inside of that cell and inside of that activity in the nucleus where that holds the genes, the DNA, all of that business, that it's not fixed. They've discovered that according to the perception, according to what the cell perceives, which we'll get to, the cell itself has the ability to create new DNA in itself, and that the activity of creating DNA is predicated upon the kind of perception the cell has, because the cell has two principal functions, and guess what they are? Protection mode, growth mode. And that a cell can mutate its own DNA according to what it perceives as stimulus. And when it perceives negative stimulus, it creates DNA whose function is to further protect and isolate it from that which it is perceived as being attacking it. Now listen, that means that what we take ourselves to be is fully dependent upon what we're in relationship with in our perception. And that the whole of a being, the whole of a being, the code of the being himself can be mutated. Can be changed.
You're listening to Letting Go with Guy Finley. For more information about Guy's life-empowering ideas, visit guyfinley.com. We'll be back in a moment.
One reason the wind of good fortune is often found at the back of people who are successful in life is because these individuals are usually found moving ahead of it in anticipation of its arrival. Hi, this is Dr. Ellen Dickstein. The engaging words of best-selling author Guy Finley remind us that real success in life is a relationship between ourselves and a timeless greatness that lives within us. Each week, you can receive a powerful, life-affirming message from Guy, guaranteed to help you succeed with your wish for a new life. Each brief, uplifting insight reminds you that nothing can stop you from knowing the higher happiness your heart longs for. To receive Guy Finley's free weekly key lessons, just visit guyfinley.com. Join the thousands of grateful individuals who are learning how to make themselves and our world a better place. Visit guyfinley.com. That's G-U-Y-F-I-N-L-E-Y.com.